From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The city of La Crosse received word last week that it's one step closer to restoring one of the last big pieces of developable land in the city along the Black River. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources awarded a $250,000 brownfields grant to La Crosse. This will help pay for cleanup of the 12-acre Petros Steel Supply property, which has soil and groundwater contamination. The city purchased this property for nearly $2 million in 2010. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked with DNR land recycling specialist Lauren Brumberg of Eau Claire about the brownfields program.
Well, the Petros property, which is also known as the Steel Supply Company property, had an existing building, a business on the property that operated for many years as a steel supply company, but they also did salvage operations on the site. And they're located on a very prominent location in the city of La Crosse, which is where the Black, the La Crosse, and the Mississippi rivers come together. So it's a very important location in the city of La Crosse. Because it did have decades of salvage operation use on that property, they left behind a legacy of some soil and groundwater contamination, which now that the city of La Crosse has acquired the property, they would like to see that contamination addressed and cleaned up so that they can then redevelop the site. For my understanding is both public use and maybe some commercial developments along the roads that surround the property.
Is it your understanding that cleaning up the Petros property is the final piece of that puzzle that would allow the city to redevelop not only that, but the mobile oil site?
Yes, that's correct, because the Petros property is just one piece of a larger area that it does include the former mobile oil terminal property, which has been going through remediation for many years, and they are almost done with that cleanup. So this is one of the last remaining contaminated sites in that area. There was also Western Wisconsin Ready Mix, another site that is part of this area that had contamination from a leaking underground storage tank. That was taken care of many years ago. So this really is the last contamination issue to get addressed in that area, which then will allow the city to focus on redevelopment of the entire area.
Do you know offhand if the mobile oil property and the concrete supplies, I believe what you called it, were they brownfield projects as well?
Yes, they were both considered brownfields property because they were former industrial sites that had contamination issues that were limiting their reuse and redevelopment. So, yes, they were both brownfield properties.
How long is it going to take to clean up that Petros site?
Yeah, it won't take very long. I mean, this is a project that once they get their remedial plan in place and they get a contractor out there, it should only take a few weeks to conduct the actual physical cleanup.
I know there have been monitoring sites on the mobile oil property for a number of years. Is that project or that property considered cleaned up and ready to be redeveloped?
Yes, it is. They have had a pump and treat system. They had groundwater impacts due to releases of petroleum products from the storage tanks. And they ran a pump and treat and a SVE system, a soil vapor extraction system, on that property for many years, and to the point where it was no longer effective as far as removing those chemicals from the ground, and they are doing some additional monitoring to make sure that the contaminant levels don't come back up. And once they get done with a period of time of monitoring, then the site is due for closure.
Could you talk a little bit more specifically about the Petros property and some of the issues that will need to be cleaned up?
It's mainly a soil contamination issue. There were groundwater impacts, but they were not significant. So it's really a soil contamination issue where they're going to have to go in there and dig out some contaminated soil. In areas where they did their salvage operation, some petroleum compounds ended up in the soil. Also some what they call polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, they're known as PAHs, also ended up in the ground, and a small amount of PCBs or a small area of PCBs. At one time, they salvaged electrical transformers that have oil in them that contains PCBs, and there's a small area of PCB-contaminated soil on the property. So it is these contaminants that are in the soil that needs to be removed and some clean material brought in, and though that contaminated soil managed as a hazardous waste or as a solid waste that will likely go to the landfill.
Could you talk a little bit about the specific brownfield grant and the amount and details like that, how much the city will have to contribute to it?
The grant program is administered by the Department of Natural Resources. Although it is federal money, the department applied to the Federal Environmental Protection Agency for cleanup funds, and the state was awarded a grant, and now we're serving as the middleman to administer a program that's called the Ready for Reuse Grant Program. And the purpose of this program is to provide financial assistance to brownfield sites where there's a cleanup needed. So the City of La Crosse applied to the department. They were awarded a $250,000 grant. This grant program, the awardees must provide matching funds, and the minimum amount is 22%. So the City of La Crosse will be providing a minimum of $55,000 in addition to the grant amount that they get. And they may provide more funds than that, depending upon what the total cost of the cleanup is. And then the purpose for that money is they're going to prepare a remedial action plan. That's a plan on how they're going to go about cleaning up this contaminated soil. It's going to cover the cost of public participation, soil excavation, the transportation and disposal, some confirmation soil testing that is done, some post-cleanup groundwater monitoring, and there are some DNR fees that are associated with a project such as this, and the grant will also cover that.
Could you talk just in general terms about the Brownfields program or the Ready for Reuse grant program and the importance of it to the state or the West Central region?
Well, the state has many Brownfields sites throughout the state, and again, these are former industrial or commercial properties that have contamination issues associated with them that affects the reuse and redevelopment of the property. And without the programs, such as the Department of Natural Resources has, many of these properties just ended up languishing, becoming tax delinquent, and not serving a beneficial purpose for the communities. So it's through these grant programs. We've also have some liability protections for certain entities, such as local governmental units and lenders and folks that have been affected by off-site contamination. So there's liability protections that the department oversees. There's tax incentives that are involved with the brownfield site. So if not for these programs, most of these sites would continue to languish. And because of the environmental liability issues associated with the contamination on the property, they just wouldn't go anywhere. So these programs are very important to get these properties back on the tax rolls and back for a beneficial purpose for the communities that they're in. And you think about it, too, these sites are typically located within urban areas, in areas where infrastructure is already there as far as redevelopment, you know, roads, sewer, that type of thing. And by redeveloping these brownfield properties, it helps protect green space further out out of the urban areas where development may occur if it's not occurring on these formerly developed sites. So the program's very important for the states and the individual communities.
Lauren Brumberg is a land recycling specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in Eau Claire. He spoke with John Davis about a $250,000 brownfields grant the DNR awarded to the city of La Crosse last week. It'll help clean up the 12-acre Petros property. Once the property is cleaned up, it will allow the city to start developing about 65 acres of property just north of the downtown area. That's considered some of the last, best developable land in the city. The cleanup could be completed by December, but it may be some time before the property is fully developed. La Crosse Planning Director Larry Kirch and City Council President Audrey Cotter talked with John Davis about what happens after the land is cleaned up.
I think it's something that we have tremendous opportunity with it, but we also have to make sure we have a comprehensive plan as to what we're going to do with the whole site. We can't take it piecemeal and take our chances. I would expect from the previous planning we've done to see some mixed uses, a wonderful site for housing, but then we have to balance that off with the other sites we've got for housing too, and the priorities. So that's a really important piece of it, is that we really do a good plan for it.
Yeah, a lot of times the city gets pressured to do something right now. I mean, this is a site that has long-term potential. Before we even owned the ExxonMobil site, there was interest in having a car lot there. And, you know, now hindsight is perfect vision here, 2020. And to me, what a very good company, but to me that would have been a waste of the resource. They've now located where there's other car dealerships and there's an agglomeration of car dealerships there. If we would put a car dealership there, to me it would have not been the highest and best use of the property. But that's the pressure that the city thinks, or some folks think, that we got to do this, we got to do it right now, and we have to sell it and, you know, try to get some tax base there. And that may be, that's very short-sighted in my opinion. What we need is a long-range view.
There have been lots of meetings talking about what becomes of this development in the future. And have we hit on best uses for this, do you think, or are a combination of things the best uses for this land?
I think it's a combination. It's a mixed-use development. It sets itself up for that. It has waterfront. It has beautiful wetlands, a lot of wildlife. To me, in the past, we had Skipper Liner was going to go there one day, and they ended up going where they are. I think what the Redevelopment Authority has said is we're going to do a master planning process. We're going to be very deliberate about it, and we're going to figure out what the highest and best use is for the entire site. With the waterfront, a marina might make sense there. There's permitting issues that have to go forth. The City Vision 2020 plan shows it as a mixed use with a waterfront development, more likely more housing. Maybe that supports the new retail across the street, and you can only have so much retail. Overall, it's been said by me hundreds and hundreds of times, is we want something that complements historic downtown La Crosse, not something that competes with it. So number one, I think that has to be the number one priority, is something that complements the last 30 years of efforts of revitalizing the historic downtown La Crosse.
Yeah, and that's something that I think the last point that Larry made, complementing the downtown, if we don't strategically plan how we're going to develop it, a timeline as much as what's going to go there, we could actually suck away the opportunity for the redevelopment. And the current issue that is very well discussed is the housing situation. So what we need to do is to make sure that our planning is consistent with what the other developments that are maybe more immediate that need to get taken care of.
Does La Crosse need housing? Or does it, should it focus on the housing it already has and making sure that's in the best shape possible?
Well, we certainly have to improve the quality of the housing in some areas in the city. Our tax base will definitely improve by increasing the quality of the housing. And the other problem with the inferior housing is that you cannot attract people who will maintain their properties into those areas unless you have a significant development. A one-spot housing improvement is not enough to attract people to come back and live in the city.
Quite a bit of this property are wetlands, if I recall. It's a sizable portion, isn't it?
When you look at the entire site, there were three parcels that the city purchased. One was the former Western Wisconsin Ready Mix. One is the Petros property. The Ready Mix was about 8 acres. Petros is about 11 acres, and the Mobile Oil site is about 24, 25 acres. But there's another 15 or 20 acres on the south end bordering the La Crosse River that whole area used to be wetlands. It was all filled in. I mean, there are 65 acres of wetlands that have been filled in that area. That whole area on the east side of Copeland Avenue were all wetlands. It was really kind of the delta, if you will, of the La Crosse River. Well, most of it's been filled in. So it is a unique environmental area. There's a huge pond there that's at least 15 acres and has teeming with wildlife. So whatever happens there needs to be protect that environment. And again, with this grant, we started out talking about an environmental cleanup grant. That's really what we're talking about, is there's seven hot spots, if you will, on the Petro site. They didn't just sell steel there. They were a recycling center. And so there's lead, there's heavy metals, there's PCBs. We're talking about restoring the environment with that particular grant, the groundwater and soils.
Public access is an important part of this, isn't
Definitely.
It? I mean, you want people to be able to use that land, especially by the river.
Most of it's undevelopable. It's in the floodway.
Yeah.
So there's a beautiful beach over there. It's part of a trail system already. There were railroad beds in there. We have a grant, a parallel grant, for $184,000 to build a bicycle trail to extend the trail from Riverside Park through this site. So we do want to open up that Black River waterfront to people of the city, but at the same time we need to be careful not to get so excited that the wildlife aren't protected. Again, that's just mm-hmm. if you've gone over there in the fall, there's waterfowl over there all the time. So when you build a bike trail, you have to make sure that we're not loving it to death. So we do want to protect the native plants and animals and bird species that are over there.
This, as you mentioned, is just north of downtown La Crosse. It's close to the Oktoberfest ground.
Mm-hmm.
To the south of the vacant land is more or less a combination of industrial park, industrial-type businesses. Why do you think housing would be a good fit between the downtown and an area that's kind of industrial?
Well, I think you're going to have a buffer. Whatever happens there along Causeway Boulevard, there are several other properties for sale as well. I think housing works because, again, the market hasn't supported very well with the economy the way it is, but having those condos along the La Crosse River, having a mixed-use development like they do at the across the street where Festival Foods is, those condos aren't selling as fast as they'd like, but I think that makes sense along a bike trail along a river. So I think housing makes sense. There's going to have to be some sort of buffer between the industrial to the north and Riverside Park to the south. And I think it lends itself. You could live there, and again, just like you could hop on the bike trail and be in the Riverwalk, or you can bike all the way to Reedsburg from this site, for almost all the way to Madison. So I think from a residential standpoint, there's a lot of pluses there.
Well, I think the major attraction of housing there and the major benefit for the city is to have a nice residential area that people can raise families that are close to the amenities and that they don't have to commute as much as some people have chosen to do in the past.
Carl Green had done a study that showed the city has 1,000 housing units that are valued at $50,000 or less and another 1,000 housing units that are valued at $60,000 or less. You ask the question, do we need more housing? We have the oldest housing stock in the region as one of the second or third oldest incorporated cities in Wisconsin. A lot of old central cities have this problem. La Crosse has a huge amount of housing that needs to be recycled. And that's kind of the question the Redevelopment Authority has posed to the council. There's more capital needs in this city for roads, for other infrastructure, improving parks, et cetera. What is the priority? Is our priority kind of salvaging the neighborhoods that we have now, or should we just move on to the next project? It's very neat and sexy to move on to the next project, but it has to be tempered with what are the city's most dire needs. We just spent the last 5 Mondays walking through our 5 most challenged neighborhoods. A lot of positives are happening, but there's still a lot of work to do. So some folks think we can do more than one thing at one time, but there's only a limited pot of money to go around. So what I think we're doing is we're moving the Petros cleanup forward. We're trying to work with Mobil Oil. They have a project over there to dig out some environmental contamination that's coming up, coordinating with the DNR. That is moving along. This planning process is happening. At the same time, we do need to have some particular focus.
We've talked a little bit about housing, but what else makes sense over there?
Recreational. It would be a big piece of it. Maybe some small business, I think, was included.
One of the thoughts was there's only one waterfront restaurant. So can you have some waterfront commercial? Along Copeland Avenue, there might be some additional commercial. Maybe there is room for another hotel across the street. Those are what really would happen out of a financial feasibility analysis, what a real estate analysis would tell us. There's been dozens of ideas for what's could happen there. I heard the Mini Mall of America we were going to have there from somebody. And again, Skipperliner, casino, car lot. I think we need to step back from it all and just with level heads figure out what's the best thing to happen over there.
Increasing the tax base has been an issue in this community for decades. Why not just take the project that can potentially bring you the most return, and what could that project be?
Well, you see, that's the exact question that hasn't really been posed before. We've kind of done spot projects, something, as Larry says, that looks sexy coming in. Then we've sort of jumped at it without necessarily weighing the impact of that on our existing infrastructure and our existing housing, our existing commercial. So if you don't look at it in conjunction with the comprehensive plan that has been developed and probably needs to be updated again now, because one of our major focuses, about 7, 8 to 10 years ago, was at the Holiday Inn site, Barron Island. And that it didn't materialize, but that still is really a ready-to-go piece of land that could. And the economy really is what slowed down a lot of what's going on. But that's why we have to be very, very careful that we don't just jump at the first offer without looking at it in the balance of what it's going to do to increasing the tax base for the city. Because as we increase the tax base, then hopefully the levy rate is going to go down.
Do you have to develop some sort of master plan for this soon, so you can be ready to take advantage when a developer comes in and says we want to work with the city?
Yes, we do. One of the Redevelopment Authority and the City Council have set aside monies to do what's called a planning charrette. So it's just the timing of that. When should that occur? It will probably occur more likely this time next year than what we hoped would be in the fall. Right now, we're concentrating efforts on implementing this grant, this $250,000 grant to clean up the Petro site. Last year, we spent most of the summer demolishing all the buildings, getting that ready now that we can do the environmental work.
Larry Kirch is La Crosse's planning director. He and City Council President Audrey Cotter joined Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about the future development of waterfront property just north of the city's downtown. A grant will help pay for the environmental cleanup of the Petros property. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.